Hi, my name is Elizabeth Akunle and welcome to Diary of a Sex Therapist. This is my diary and I'm your sex therapist. So last month, we did talk extensively about nakedness is next to godliness. And that series focused on being naked with God, with yourself, with community. It spoke about being open. It spoke about healing. It spoke about being genuine. It spoke about being true. It spoke about exploring relationships. I cannot absolutely recap that series. It was a four-part series. So if you missed it, please go down and just go find Nakedness is Next to Godliness. That's the part one. It was an introduction session like we're having today for this new series. And then there was Naked with God, Naked with Yourself, and Naked with Community. And so today we're beginning a new series called Staying in Your Call. Staying in Your Call. If you've been following me on social media since last year, then this topic will not be new to you, absolutely. It is impossible for it to be new because I did an 11-part text session on Facebook talking about staying in your call. And that gave birth to my book, Staying in Your Call, which I'm still working on. We're supposed to release it. However, I felt there were things in my life I needed to go through in order to have certain chapters of the book be full. So because of that, the book is pending for now. However, this series is going to be lasting throughout June, this week, all to the end of June. We're just going to be staying in our call. What does it mean to stay in your call? What is my call? I mean, that's the first place. What is my call? A lot of people have done a good job talking about this, teaching about it, writing about it, inspiring people about it. One of my favorite books about the call and the assignment is the book The Assignment by Mike Budok. The Assignment by Mike Budok. I recommend it. I absolutely recommend that book. Because in that book, you get to explore the things you love, the things you hate. You get to explore the gifts the Lord has given to you, the things you've looked down on. And then you begin to understand what is my assignment by reason of the things the Lord has placed in your hands. And then you can begin to track that. Another book I recommend is Hearing from God, or How to Hear from God by Joyce Meyer. Because in that book, you also begin to explore how God speaks to you. Because there is a tendency that God has said something, God has shown something, God has provided for something, but you haven't paid attention. And so every day you're waking up and asking, what's my purpose? I'm searching for purpose, like purpose is missing. Purpose is not. You wake up every morning, there is a purpose for that day. There's something for you to do. Purpose sometimes is healing. Purpose sometimes is just becoming your truest self in the moment. Purpose sometimes is just being open enough to hear what the Lord is saying. Purpose sometimes is taking care of your kids. All right, so these books help us to put those things in perspective. My book would have a whole part on finding your call. However, this series is just going to focus on staying in your call. That's why I recommend that those two books, The Assignment by Mike Mudock and How to Hear from God by Joyce Meyer. Another person who did a good job with the topic is Dio Samuel in his podcast, Your Core Message. Also, I would find a way to link it to this podcast, Your Core Message, where he began to talk about your gift, your experiences. He used the matrix and then brought us back into the center of our person. That was really, really instructive. So what I will do is find the link to that podcast and attach it to this. So whatever year you listen to this, you can always find Dio's podcast and go through the walkthrough session that's embedded in the podcast. All right, so correctly, welcome to Staying in Your Call. And that's our series for this month. One core thing that has grounded me on this topic is Joel chapter 2. One book of the Bible is Joel chapter 2, where it spoke about the army of the Lord. It doesn't matter what year you read Joel 2. Joel 2 is consistently instructive. You find the army of God, this army not jostling, this army not breaking ranks. I mean, the guy who is the commander doesn't decide to be humble and go become the shield boy. The shield boy doesn't become so proud that he leaves the shield and go to the front and wants to lead the army. The guy who is fighting with his sword and his spear, who is holding his shield and running into battle, is not changing his mind and saying, you know what, I'm going on a sabbatical leave. The Bible says this army does not jostle and it does not break ranks. Mind you, here we're trying to be spiritual. To be smart and to be sexy. In order to be spiritual, we need to understand our place in God's army. In order to be smart, we need to know the work cut out for us, and we need to find a way to execute that work without burning out this physical body, this temple that holds us to this earth. And in doing that also, we can't afford to lose our sexy self in our relationships, in our marriages. Marriages are crashing for lack of a great sex life. People are losing themselves to lack of orientation sexually, to wrong information in relationships. And so people are taking drastic decisions without information. And that's because they don't pay attention to their sexual self. We feel like, oh, it's something demonic, it's something wrong. And so we don't know anything. Statistics shows over and over again that people who tend to get pregnant randomly, people who tend to get sexually infected randomly, are people who usually don't know anything about the topic sex. They're people who usually don't pay attention. They're probably people who are abstaining. Also, because they feel they're abstaining, they think abstinence is equal to ignorance. No, it's not. Apostle Paul speaks of a people who have zeal without knowledge. That's what it will be. And zeal without knowledge would always bring you to the end of yourself swiftly than you're supposed to come there. All right. So on this podcast, we're looking for balance on all three platforms. Staying in your call. To stay in your call is to know where the Lord has placed you. When I became a sex therapist, I knew not a single Christian who was a sex therapist. I didn't even know a sex counselor. I didn't know one. I've heard of marriage counselors. I knew people who were counselors in churches. I mean, I'll come for youth events and I would hear speakers ask silly questions like, if you're not a virgin here, raise up your hand. Or if you're a virgin here, raise up your hand. Excuse me, one in every three girl is a victim of abuse, whether sexual, domestic, or something. And you will be so insensitive to have a conversation like that in public, knowing fully well that these people could have lost their virginity to rape. They could have lost it to misinformation. They could have lost it to all forms of things. I've met a lady who had to abort her child because her boyfriend told her, when you don't sleep with me, I experience stomach aches and blah, blah, blah. And the doctor says I need to have sex. And because she was misinformed, she did have sex with him without protection. Now, it was not enough that she had sex. It was worse that she had sex without protection. It was worse that she did not understand contraceptives, and now she ends up in an abortion and the relationship is over. So when I stepped out to do what I felt the Lord was saying I should do, I was 19, 20, 21. I finally launched out at 21. I looked like a crazy person. I still look like a crazy person. I still feel like a crazy person on some days. But it's what the Lord has called me to do. Everybody says, oh, I don't like this person because this person is wayward. And all of a sudden, there is compassion in my heart for that person. Everybody doesn't talk to this person because this person is weird. And suddenly, that's the person I want to talk to. This person is bad. This person is this. And suddenly, I find myself interceding for that person because I am anointed to do what I do. It's my call. I'm graced for it. If someone else does what I do, they would probably fail. If I do what you're anointed to do, I would struggle. I will not do it right. I will not achieve the results you achieve. And even if I do, I will do it with a lot of pain and tears and struggles. And that's one of the things we must first understand, that the Lord has called you. He didn't call your community. He didn't call your mom. He didn't call your dad. He didn't call your pastor even. He called you to stay at your duty post. Habakkuk speaking says, I will stand on my watch. It becomes important that you know where your watch is, what your watch is, and stand there. You can't stay in your call without knowing what your watch is. And it's not always, you know everything. I didn't know what I know now 5 years ago when I stepped out. I didn't understand. I did not. I wrote down in 2014 that the name of my team will be called Reformers. We didn't answer the name Reformers till barely 2 months ago. So it becomes important that when the Lord gives us instruction, we are documenting it. Mind it is an introduction session, so I'm going to be putting a lot of things together. Bear with me. We need to know what the Lord is saying. We need to be attentive enough. And that's why I recommended the book, How to Hear from God. Because if you've not been hearing from God, it becomes hard to know, oh, this is what the Lord wants me to do, or this is where the Lord wants me to stay. And then I recommended the book, The Assignment, because if you don't know the things in your hand, the gifts in your hand, the skill in your hand, the compassion in your heart, you won't know how to utilize the place the Lord has given you. So to stay is to know and then to decide to stay there. You must make a decision to stand at your duty post. Juanita Bynum was explaining it many years ago. She says, when you decide to keep the coat, God will keep you to keep the coat. If you make up your mind to say, Lord, you want me to do this. I don't understand it. I sound like a crazy person. Like Abraham, who said, the Lord is telling me to leave my father's house and go to a city where I do not know. I'm going to move out like a madman because I choose to believe the Lord. I choose to follow the instruction of the Lord and I'm going to move. When you make up your mind to say, Lord, I am going to move, the Lord keeps you to keep moving. The Lord keeps you to stand at your duty post when you make up your mind. So the first thing is to know where the duty post is. The second thing is to decide to stand or to move in your duty. Then I go back to the army of Joel too. The Bible says they neither jostle nor break ranks. I can't seem to get over that line. I've been unable to get over it for the last 7 years, and I pray that I will never get over it. They neither jostle nor break ranks. To jostle is to walk side by side someone and to hit them, to move out of alignment. I did model at some point in my life, so I understand what it means to walk in a path. When they set a course for you as a model, you are not expected to go out of that yellow strip. You are not expected to lose the track of how your feet is supposed to land. You don't suddenly begin to step out and walk side. No, you are on that straight course. It is impossible to walk in your line as a model or run in your course as a runner on the field and hit your neighbor. To hit your neighbor means you came out of your line. It means you came out of what was set for you. That's what it means not to jostle. To not jostle means you stand in your space. The moment you step out of your space, you will jostle. You will hit someone. So if you're working and then suddenly you find someone bumping into you, you know how almost upset you get, because this person can actually hit you and make you lose your balance. So every time you come out of your duty post, what you're doing is affecting the balance of an entire army. I know that sounds like a lot of responsibility, but truthfully, that's what it is. I'm not always right. I'm not always on my duty post. I'm not always in line. But this is something the Lord helps me to understand every single day. That Lizzie, when you wake up in the morning and you decide not to be the sex therapist that you are, when you wake up in the morning and you decide, see, I don't want to help anybody today. When you wake up in the morning and you decide, see, I'm not in the mood to pray for someone. I'm not in the mood to be a helper. I'm not in the mood to be a comforter. I'm not in the mood to be a helper to someone. What I'm saying is, Lord, I don't mind the vacuum I leave. Lord, I don't mind who I injure today, because that's what it is. I'm saying, Lord, I am choosing to be irresponsible. That's a lot. Jesus, that's a lot. I'm saying, Lord, I don't mind the oil you've put upon my life. I don't care about you right this minute. It's me. That's what it means to jostle. To break ranks is to consciously now leave your duty post and go to another person's duty post, or to vacate your duty post entirely. To jostle is to just step out of line, hit someone to the left, to the right, in front or behind. If you've ever marched in school, which was also something I did because I used to have health issues in secondary school. So I couldn't run. I couldn't do anything. I had to march. And my goodness, I did that thing well, because I did it for about 6 years straight. If you don't put your hand correctly, you hit someone. That's jostling. However, to break ranks is to leave your duty post, is to leave that space you are in the parade, leave that space vacuum, or go and ask someone else to leave their duty post. And you might have been arranged according to height. So if I'm a tall person and I leave my duty post behind and go in front because I want people to see me, what I have done is
cover the eyesight, cover the vision of every other person behind me. And it means they will not do their duty well because I have covered their vision in an attempt to showcase myself. If I stand at my duty post, I will be visible. Let me say that again. If you stand at your duty post, you will be visible. It's impossible not to be. When you match, even the person in the middle, when you get to certain parts of your parade, when you begin to duplicate in code and you begin to rearrange and break ranks and restructure and do those beautiful movements, those people in the middle suddenly become the superstars. They are not covered. God didn't call you to hide you. God says that which of you having a lamp will put it under a bed. Do you understand? That's God asking you. So how do you think God would light you up and then hide you? If you stand at your duty post, you will be visible. So stop running for visibility. Visibility is in staying in your call. Visibility is in standing at your duty post. Visibility is in not jostling and not breaking ranks. Visibility is in standing and hearing what the Lord will say. Visibility is in receiving the vision, writing it plain, that those who walk with you, those who choose to run with you, those whom the Lord might have assigned to you, might see it and run. That's where visibility is. Visibility is one of the reasons why many of us abandon where the Lord has called us to be. Because we feel, Lord, I'm not popular. Lord, nobody knows what I'm doing. Lord, nobody sees my tears. Can I surprise you? As at last month, I still doubted what the Lord had called me to do. When I say doubt, I don't mean, oh, I was just walking and I'm like, I'm tired, Jerry, I don't want to take it. No, I mean heavy doubts. The kind when you're asking the Lord, Lord, prove it that you anointed me. And then I had this very small event and the people who came speaking, I was more than sure. I had moved on from that doubt. I had settled into the fact that it is impossible that God has been wrong since 2014 till now. Yeah, because I opened an old vision diary and I saw that I had written things down since as far back as May 2014. So I was telling myself that it's impossible that God has been wrong since 2014. And I settled down. After I settled down, about 2 weeks later, people came in for my event. And when they all began to speak, someone had an issue of molestation. Someone had serial abuse issues. And it was obvious because I found out as proof and as evidence of the anointing and the call of God over my life. That every time I step in a place, most of the people who smile, laugh at me are either addicts, abuse victims, come from broken home, come from divorced places, like consistently. Those are proofs of the anointing on my life. I don't have to be popular to prove it. The few people I've worked with, the over 300 people I've worked with, are evidence. Visibility is in staying in your call. I will trash out a few other things like people not trusting in you, how it's a lonely journey. But today, I need you to understand that you are called and anointed for that thing you do. That thing you do with ease. If someone else tries it, they will die, dear. That thing you do with ease, you do it because you are anointed for it. That thing you're passionate about, that thing that irritates you when it happens, that thing that makes you angry when it happens, is because you have an anointing for it. That discrepancy that you notice in the office, in the financials, that irregularity that you see, is as tiny as how you enter a place and you notice they didn't lock the door. Some people don't see it. How you are disorganized with every other thing, but suddenly you get to this place and you're attentive to details. I can be nonchalant with a few other things, but I'm not nonchalant with people's emotions. When I get in a place and a leader is speaking, I'm looking at the expression of people. I'm looking at their body language. I'm looking at how they react. When parents speak, I'm listening. I'm listening to more than just what they say because it's my space. It's your space. Stop belittling it. You can talk for 5 hours nonstop. No, you are not a talkative. You are anointed to speak. You can write non-stop. You can look at mango peel and write something from it because you are anointed to write. You are a scribe. You must begin to put prestige on what you are anointed for. The Bible says, take heed. Speak to Archippus. Tell him to take heed to the ministry. You must take heed to the ministry. That's how to stay in your call. That's how to function in the army. That's how to stand at your duty post. You must take heed to the callings and the giftings and the grace and the things you do with is. I hope this has helped you this week. I hope you would go look for those books, look for that podcast. I'm going to look for the link of the podcast and attach it to this and make sure you listen to it before the next episode, which is next week, Friday. I'm going to put it out there. Listen to it. Find the books. The Assignment by Mike Murdock. How to Hear from God by Joyce Meyer. If you've been hearing from God and you're sure you know how to hear from God, then now is a good time to put to actions the things the Lord has told you to do. Because there are people, nations are waiting for you. The Bible says the endless expectation of the creation awaited the manifestation of the sons of God. So trees are waiting for your manifestations. People are waiting. There are people who will not leave their abusive marriages until you write the movies you write. I've heard Tyler Perry speak about his movie Diary of a Mad Black Woman and how the movie made a woman leave an abusive marriage that her family has not been able to get her to leave for years. If he didn't write Mad Black Woman, that woman will probably still be in that abusive marriage until God knows whoever will pick up their vision and pick up their pen and write the movie script and get it out. What the Lord has put in your hand, it counts. Say to yourself, I count in the vision of God. I count. My calling counts. My gift counts. My anointing counts. It might be to make little children laugh. It counts. It might be to raise people. It counts. It might be to be an intercessor. It counts. That was all Anna did until Jesus was born. It counts. It counts. It might be to announce like John the Baptist did. It counts. It might be to be a forerunner. It counts. It counts. My calling counts. My anointing count, and I choose to stand on my duty post. God bless you. See you next week, Monday. This is Diary of a Sex Therapist. My name is Elizabeth Akwili, or you can call me Minister Lisa, like my friends do. God bless you.